It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
The Guy Benson Show Sunday Replay. The week's most interesting interviews with senators, commentators, and newsmakers. Giving you a replay just in case you missed it. The Guy Benson Show.
I'm Guy Benson. We're back on The Guy Benson Show here in New York. Joining me here in studio, not even kidding, talking about sports during the break, Dana Perino, co-anchor of America's Newsroom, also co-host of The Five, New York Times best-selling author, her most recent book, Everything Will Be Okay. What's that?
I got a little top knot going on.
You do.
I always forget. I got a little video. I got to do The Five after this, so they have to do my hair again.
This is radio hair for you. Yes, if you're watching on Fox, Fox Nation, or on the live stream. Also, you've got the Everything Will Be Okay podcast.
Yeah, third season.
It's back.
Yeah.
And you had an incredible conversation with Benjamin Hall.
Wasn't that great?
He is. We just had him on here last week.
I saw.
Just that story, his attitude is almost like preternaturally impressive.
And what I loved about my interview with him is that I read the book cover to cover, loved it. I had so many dog-eared pages. And what I did in the podcast is I said, instead of just going chronologically as to what happened, I am going to randomly open up this book, and whatever page I land on, whatever note I took, that's what I want to ask you about.
Oh, that's a fun way of doing
it.
It's like different.
Fun.
It's a little different.
Yeah, just because he'd done so many interviews
He's
by then. And it was also, now it's a podcast, so it's a little looser. So I just did that, and the one that made me so happy was in the book, there's a vignette that he describes of he and Pierre went to a children's hospital in Ukraine, and there was a little baby there named that had been named Prince Charlie, and named that because it was born to a surrogate mother, a Ukrainian woman who was the surrogate for a couple in the UK who had, I don't know what to say, arranged this. I was going to say ordered him up, but arranged this. Then the war starts. She has the baby. Now it's early March, and he had a little bit of medical issues. He needed some surgery on his belly. Baby Prince Charlie. And Pierre and Ben, I remember they covered the story, and we covered it here on Fox. And then I read about this, and he talked about how upset they were and how Pierre, who did not have children of his own, was thinking, how can I adopt him? Because the British parents decided not to take him when he had medical issues.
Oh.
How awful.
Oh.
What rotten people.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm like, wow, this is terrible. So Ben's telling us the story. And then in the podcast, I said, and Prince Charlie, and I sort of held up my hands in despair. And Ben says, I've got great news. He was adopted. And he couldn't give a lot of details on the podcast because there's a lot of privacy laws involved
sure.
in international adoption. But Prince Charlie lives, he is healthy, and he is with a loving family.
That is great.
Isn't that amazing?
That's a great little...
That has made me so happy since last week.
That's like an everything will be okay
yes.
type story.
Yes. Look, I mean, if Benjamin Hall can believe that everything will be okay, surely we can too.
That is very well said. Dana, you also have this short questions with Dana Perino
yes.
for digital.
Yes, for FoxNews.com.
Like you hand off a list of questions to Fox News personalities,
yeah.
lighter stuff.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
It's fun. It's like snackable content, right? So you can just scroll through it in 30 seconds and learn a little bit more about somebody. Jesse Waters went for one time. What did I ask Jesse?
I mean, he'll answer
something about
anything.
Like what happens, like how do you react when you're recognized? And he said, I always ask, if anyone asks, are you Jesse Waters? He says, why? Does he owe you money? And I thought that was cute. So there's a little bit of things like that. But you learn about favorite books, songs, last time they danced, last time they cried, things like that. So I did one with Benjamin Hall. He said it's hard for him. He doesn't like short answers necessarily.
But sometimes there's value to it.
But it's fun. I said, well, it did well on the internets.
Yeah, people are clicking on it.
Yeah.
Because also people click on anything. That's
and I said, and you know what? You are selling a book, so you're doing
do
this.
Yeah,
yeah, no, he did it, and it was great. His favorite song is Ave Maria.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I mean, I was going to say drunk on a plane, and that's just like not the same.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's going the super classy route on that one. But that's
I don't
great.
Know why people, I just came up with that Dierks Bentley song, but
people can check out Short Questions with Dana Perino at FoxNews.com. All right, so here's this New York Post story. Just came out a short while ago. Headline, Donald Trump in high spirits, his team pumped over arrest publicity. At least reportedly, they are loving this.
Yeah, he's probably like, they're all back there fist bumping, saying, he's still got it. He can make everybody stop, pay attention, cause controversy, got every Republican to defend him. He raised a ton of money in small dollar donations, which they need to fund their campaign. And you know what? On the merits, he has proven to be right. When you have Ruth Marcus of the Washington Post and Paul Gigot of the Wall Street Journal agreeing that this case on the merits is a terrible case and egregious to bring, then it's obviously not a good case on the merits.
And it's good politics to kind of lean into it.
I think that they're right to high-five each other. Now, he obviously did not get arrested today. I don't know if he even will get arrested. But if they're looking for, on the publicity front, they should be happy.
What do you think? Because we had Brett and Martha in here yesterday, and the audio is still relatively fresh. We played the clip of DeSantis being asked about it and his response, which I thought, because he hadn't said anything until he was asked, and he gave the answer that he did, with the little dig in the middle, but mostly focusing on the left. What did you think of that?
I think it showed that he can take a punch, like he did last week, and he can punch back. He can get up off the mat and punch, but gently. And he didn't need to blow Trump out over this.
Which he didn't.
But he had a little bit of like, hey, I got a sharp edge too, guy. You know, so he showed a willingness to take a partial shot. But look, Ron DeSantis is not a declared candidate. But if you ask likely Republican primary voters, Ron DeSantis is not going up in the polls of late, even with his book tour. And if you are going to go after a front runner, at some point, you have to directly take on the front runner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that within the next, 4 months, you're not going to do it. You're going to cede the field to the front runner.
So do you think, based on that, because the timeline that's been sort of speculated about is that he's doing the book tour and some other political events, he's focused theoretically, ostensibly on the book, and then he'll do the Florida legislative session, and then he'll announce in May or June.
I think the Florida legislative session is very important to him because the one thing he is able to do is to say, I actually have gotten stuff done.
Right.
Let me tell you the things I got done.
So do you think that's the right priority, or is he waiting too long?
I think it's a formula that others have used, most notably George W. Bush of Texas, who was reelected, and then 18 months later in June of 1999, announced his candidacy. It seems very similar to me.
You know something about him, I think.
I've never met Ron DeSantis.
Oh, I meant George W. Bush.
Oh, George W. Bush. Yes, yes. I know a little bit about that campaign. So that makes sense to me. I've actually never met Ron DeSantis. I interviewed him once on Through the Screen. Look forward to meeting him at some point if he decides to run. I hope that we do get to meet him.
Press secretary question. This is one of our topics that came up on Outnumbered earlier. There was this hullabaloo in the briefing room yesterday. So they had the cast of Ted Lasso there. They even had the fictional journalist there to ask a question, sort of a cutesy little thing, but okay, here we go. There's a journalist in the room who covers the African beat. I guess he represents an African news organization who I guess has been very angry for months that he hasn't gotten called on. So he just started sort of shouting about this on multiple occasions, and Karine Jean-Pierre was upset about it. Other journalists got upset about it. They were defending her and telling him to maintain decorum and all that. Now he's making the rounds, having made his point the way that he did. Kayleigh McEnany gave her 2 cents on it as a former press secretary. What do you think of that whole thing?
Well, it's interesting how this guy knew how to get attention. The reporter, I can't think of his name, the one working for the African news organization. He's frustrated because he raises his hand every day. He shows up to work every day. He goes to the briefing room. He raises his hand every day, and he never gets called on. And Jill Biden, the first lady, just went to Africa. You have something to say, call on him once in a while, and you won't have these kind of flare-ups. Now, I do not know, having worked in a Republican administration, I think Kayleigh would say the same. We don't know what it's like to have big Hollywood stars come to the briefing room for some sort of shtick. It just doesn't happen. So I actually don't know how I would have handled that. In some ways, you could think the guy could have picked his moments. However, he did pick a moment, and he made a point. It got her rattled. They were embarrassed right there, thinking that we're just going to have this nice little fun thing. We're going to talk about mental health. Mental health is an important issue. I could see why the other reporters were irritated, but I kind of admire him for taking a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this will work in terms of getting called on now.
He might not.
But he picked a moment with celebrities there and went for it. So, Dana Perino, we got to run.
Cheers,
great to
mate.
See you. And we'll talk soon, I hope.
Okay, hope so.
It's the Guy Benson Show. We'll be right back after this.
That was this week's edition of the Guy Benson Show Sunday Replay.
For more Guy Benson Show,
go to GuyBensonShow.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime Podcast. January 26th, 1988 was a cold and suspiciously quiet night at the Indianapolis Police Department, but the frigid night took a chilling turn with news of a triple homicide. This week, I'm joined by retired Sergeant Judd Green for a look back at this savage case. Available now on Apple, Spotify, and FoxNewsPodcast.com.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.